Hello, and welcome back to the Scooter Life podcast with Sarah Blessington. So today I'm here to talk about me finally getting my scooter. So to pick up from where we left off, I had just had my handshake agreement with Simon that I was going to buy this scooter. And then I headed off back to northern San Francisco with Harriet and was just now starting to get excited that I had the scooter. And so she and I kind of made a game plan of how we would rendezvous back down south, and she would drop me off so that I could drive the scooter up. And initially it looked to be about a 2-hour ride from, or what I was planning would probably take me about 2 hours to get down south up to where I was in Fairfax. And so that was a little nerve-wracking, but I'm like, you know what? Like, it's fine. Like, I've taken, like, maybe, like, an hour. I think probably an hour and a half is the longest I'd been on a scooter. So I figured 2 hours couldn't be that much different. And I was ready to give it a go. So Harriet had already invited me to go to this toga party at a private island with a yacht club, which is something that I have a hard time even just saying out loud, thinking that this was something that I went to or was even invited to go to. But Harriet assured me that she was part of the, like, original dirtbags when it came to this yacht club. So I'm like, okay, I'll be able to find some people that are more on my level, I guess, and that it would just be fine, because why not go to a toga party on a private island with a yacht club? So she has a boat named Tasher, so we were able to clean up the boat, get her out, take her out to this island. And on the way out there, we picked up some supplies for the toga party, which, I mean, I'd been to like a couple toga parties at my friend's schools, so I had sort of basic idea of how this was all supposed to work. So on the drive out there, we're kind of like googling different ideas and pick up some white sheets and then go to Hobby Lobby and grab some ridiculous plastic ivy. We're like, we'll be totally fine. So once we get there, we are immediately just inundated with these insane boats that I have never seen something so fancy in my life. And so I'm a little nervous how everything else is gonna go. And you know, we just kind of keep looking at each other. It's like, well, we're here together, everything else is fine. So we kind of, we find a space on the dock, kind of away from everyone else, and get ready to put on the togas, and we're, you know, try all these different little ways to tie it, and all that was fun. So I feel like we looked pretty cool. And so we head off to the festivities, and man, it was something like Dirty Dancing straight up in Marin County. And apparently there was the next level of togas where you just like pay someone to make you a toga and look like a legitimate adult. So I felt a little underdressed for this situation. But I kind of went back into my teachings of the time of when I first learned how to tie a toga, and tequila. The agave plant was the answer. So I found a bar and that they had set up there, and quickly had maybe one or two shots, and just to take the edge off, and look around, and I find this couple just sort of awkwardly eyeing me up, being like, what are you doing here? So I start chatting with them, and it quickly comes out that I am planning on riding a scooter across the country, and their faces afterwards were just like, are you broken? Like, that, did that legitimately just come out of your mouth? And so I was again able to have this practice of being like, yep, I'm gonna do it. No, I don't know what I'm doing. Yes, everything's gonna be fine. No, my mother has not died yet. She is still alive and hopefully is okay. And so we just kind of were chatting for a while, and it just, again, just renewing this sense of confidence of that I really had nothing to be confident about, in the sense that I didn't really know what I was doing, but trusting that I had had enough life experience up to that point that I would be able to figure it out. And as the night progressed, dinner came around. And so Harriet and I are kind of off to our own devices. And I find myself in the food line. And there's I say buffet line, and it just does not do justice for the beautiful array of food that was spread out with white linen tablecloths in front of us. And so I wasn't really aware of who was next to me, but I guess my expression of looking at all the different selection of meat opportunities in front of me, I just kind of gave off the, like, I don't know what I'm doing and why am I here? So this older man comes up next to me and he's like, you should get that and definitely get this. And if you haven't had this before, get that thing too. So I'm just listening to what he's telling me and putting all these different shapes of meat on my plate and various side items. And he was just super jovial and kind. And he is like, where are you sitting? I'm like, oh, I kind of lost track of my friend. He's like, well, come sit with me. So go sit down next to him. And I'm just sort of curiously eyeing all these different animals that I'm not even really sure what they were. And I look to him like, are you supposed to use a fork and knife? I don't even have utensils. Like, how is this all supposed to work? And he just picks up what I'm guessing was a lamb shank and just bites into it. I'm like, follow suit. This guy seems to know exactly what time it is. So we just start eating, and he starts asking questions, and I tell him about the scooter situation, and he's like, I thought that was you. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, well, I heard these other folks talking about it, and I guess they had overheard you telling this other person, and I wanted to know what kind of person would think that was a good idea. And so I was ready for him to start telling me all the reasons why this was a terrible idea. And he did no such thing. And he just was so full of smiles and just like, you know, they just don't make kids like they used to. And you're giving me hope. And, you know, I really wish that there could be more people out there doing stuff that they don't know how it's going to turn out, but they're going to do it anyway. And so that was just another huge rush of excitement. I'm like, other people don't think I'm crazy. This is so awesome. And he eventually, like, kind of slowed me down from eating. It was like, by the way, like, you should definitely save room for dessert. It's the best part. I'm like, oh my gosh, dessert? What's going on next? He's like, they have your self-serve, soft-serve ice cream, and the rainbow sprinkles are my favorite. I'm like, oh my gosh, me too. We bonded. But, I mean, the whole rest of the evening was so nice. Everyone, I mean, as libations will do, the just preconceived notions of the history of everyone else, how they got there, how much money, who knows how anyone had, it didn't matter. Everyone was having just such an incredible time. And when I met back up with Harriet, it was, of course, to take prom-style photos in front of the, like, fake plant backdrop. And it wasn't long before, like, all these other people were just joining in the fun and just being kids. And I feel like so often it can be easy to forget what it's like to play. So it was really great playing and just having such a fun time with all these people. So as the night died down, Harriet and I went back to the boat and got to sleep on a boat, which was my first time doing that. And waking up, it was the day I was going to get the scooter. And as I'm being rocked by the gentle, like, lull of the water, I started to think about having a panic attack. And I'm like, not today. Today is not the day. And started doing some, like, breathing exercises to try to put that anxiety somewhere else. I'm like, today, the only space that I have for emotions is the emotion of me doing this, and that everything is going to be fine. And so Harriet and I got back up and running, took the boat back, and headed off for the drive down south to meet up with Simon again and get the scooter. So as we're driving, we're stuck in this insane traffic, as California will do. And I'm kind of looking around at all these people, and everyone just kind of looks mad and just dejected. And I'm like, is anyone driving or headed towards their adventure. Like, what are these people doing to bring joy in their life? And it was just this interesting switch of seeing all these people stuck in their own worlds and knowing that I was on the precipice of the rest of my life. And it was happening. And so eventually we sorted through all the traffic and made it to the 7-Eleven parking lot. And Simon was there, and he luckily was already pretty well sorted with being able to buy and sell vehicles. So he had the bill of sale and the title all right there and ready to go, and had a pen, and it all went so quick. I signed it over, gave him the wad of cash. I'm like, all right, this is happening. And, you know, we shook hands and he wished me good luck and he left. And then I'm like, oh my God, I now have to ride this thing like 2 hours up north. What am I doing? Everything's fine. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. And Harriet is kind of waiting for me. And I had asked her to just kind of stick around, make sure that everything's fine and that I don't just immediately fall down and burst into flames. And that would be really nice. So I'm like putting on my new gloves and jacket, helmet, and I sort of started to feel this like tunnel vision. And it was super hot out anyway, but just the heat of nervousness and kind of trying not to pass out from heat or nervousness, probably more nervousness than heat. And I just trying to do one thing and then the next and try to hold in on this fact that if you just finish one task of putting on the one glove and then velcroing it, that you then get to put on the next glove. And each one of these steps brings me closer to getting on that scooter and riding off into the sunset. So I just finished putting on all my gear and then start walking towards the scooter. And my breath becomes even more exaggerated. And I just am like, I don't even know how to breathe anymore, but this is going to be okay. I'm not going to pass out. I'm going to sit on that scooter and I'm not going to fall down. I walk myself over there and just kind of give her a look over first. I'm like, all right, little scooter, like, you're mine now. This is all gonna be fine. We're just gonna go for a little joyride, and it's gonna be the time where we get to know each other and everything's going to be fine. And so I get on the scooter and I have my hands on the handlebars, and I'm just feeling the adjustment of what it feels like to grip with these gloves and just feel the hard protection over the knuckles just kind of dig into my skin. And then I have the voice of some of the other folks on the motorcycle forums that I was updating reminding me that, you know, that you'll grow into your gloves, that as they kind of loosen and get worn in, that it will truly feel like a second hand. So I tried to imagine that. And just feeling this helmet, and then it felt like it was squeezing my head, and I'm sure it was just the amount of blood just pumping and pounding through my head. And just tried to breathe. And I'm like, all you have to do now is press the accelerator and turn on this scooter. I'm like, okay, ignition, that's what I want. I can do this. Ignition is where I'm starting. And so I go for the, turn the key, press the button, and nothing. I'm like, well, that's not real. No. Oh, wait. Okay. So what am I doing? Okay. The kickstand's up. Press the brakes. Okay. And now the button. And nothing. And I can't believe it. Like, oh my God. Is this, do I now own a scooter that doesn't turn on? And I can see that the dash is lit up, so there is battery, but I wasn't getting anything to the ignition. So I like run through all these little tricks that Simon had told me about, and nothing. I wasn't getting anything. So I immediately start to freak out and I'm like, how could he do this to me? How could I do this to myself? I can't believe I didn't know that this could happen or think that it could happen to me. Craigslist, I'm now officially a Craigslist statistic being sold something that doesn't work. And it's now mine. My name is on the title. And oh my God, I am 2 hours south from where I'm staying. I don't have a trailer. Do I leave it here? I can't leave it here. It's in a 7-Eleven parking lot. Maybe someone will steal it and then I'm out $1,600. And oh my God, I just start to lose it. And then eventually, I don't know how I stop. The little voice inside me is like, hold on, open yourself up to this person's story. I'm like, okay. Okay, how do I even start doing that? Because I'm trying to decide if I want to cry, if I want to yell, if I want to just disappear, which I don't even know how that's possible, but I was trying to think about how to do it. And I'm like, just send him a text. I'm like, okay. So I send Simon a text message and nothing. I'm like, okay, well, I know it takes a couple minutes to get a text and respond to it. So I walk back to Harriet's car and I'm like, hey, so the scooter's not starting and I'm trying to deal with it. Can you just like hang on for a second longer, please? I'm so sorry. I don't know what's happening and I'm trying not to freak out. She's like, take your time, do what you need to do. I'm right here. I'm like, oh, okay. So I'm looking back at my phone. It's now been like 10 minutes. I'm like, okay, that's, I feel like an appropriate amount of time to maybe see this text message. Like he was just here. What could he possibly be doing? Like fleeing the scene of the crime. And I still keep debating whether or not I want to just completely freak out or not. And yeah, I again have this moment of like, no, this is not what you're doing right now. You are not freaking out. You are going to open yourself up to the possibility that everything is just going to be okay. And it will. Like, okay. So I call him. He doesn't answer. Go straight to voicemail. I call again. I'm hoping. I was like, well, maybe it's on that setting where you have to like call twice to be able to get through and go straight to voicemail. So I'm like, okay, what am I going to do? I'm like, bring him in to your story. Like, okay. So I then sent him a text message because I figured he might, who knows, listen to that voicemail whenever. I figured if at least I'll be as descriptive as I can in the text message so he can just get all the information right off the bat. And so I took all my emotion out of it. I'm like, hey, Simon, I'm here with the scooter. I'm trying to get it to start. It won't start. I've tried all of the suggestions that you've given me if I ever run into this sort of problem and nothing's working. If you could please reach back out to me as soon as possible, that would be great. I am still in the 7-Eleven parking lot. Thanks. So immediately he gives me a call and I swear I can hear a crying baby in the background. And I'm like, see, Sarah, this man isn't trying to avoid you. He obviously just has a life like everyone else that you're ever going to meet in your life. And he's like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I'll be there in just a minute. So he comes right over and starts doing all the little checks himself and it still won't turn on. He's like, oh, this is not what it looks like. I'm like, okay, like I get it. Like I trust you. I do trust you. And he's like, well, I've got some tools at my place. I'm just going to push it back over. I just live right next door. And we'll start figuring it out. I'm like, okay. So I'm tell Harriet, I just kind of throw everything in her car. I'm like, hey, I'm going to go over to this parking lot that's next door to us. try to figure out what's going on. I'll be right back. She's like, okay. So he pushes the scooter over to a parking spot in the shade, which thankfully, because it was about 90 plus degrees. And he just immediately starts taking it apart, which was also really useful because now I know where the battery is, which is a very useful thing to know. And just starts kind of testing wires and looking at things, and the scooter still won't start. And he's like, okay, I do think it's the battery. And I'm like, okay, that's okay, but I can't that's not the situation. Like, I am about to go 3,000+ miles across the United States. I need the battery to work. And he's like, okay, like, I totally understand. What I'm going to do, I'm going to take the scooter to a shop and I'm going to get it a new battery. And just have them look at it real quick and make sure that nothing else is going on. Is that acceptable? Like, I'll pay for it. I'm like, yes, that is fine. Everything is fine. Everything is fine. Trying not to freak out. Trying to live in this, yes, that it's all going to work out. And so I leave the scooter with him. And I've got the title, but he's got my money and the scooter. And I'm like, you know, this isn't going to end up in some crazy Craigslist statistic situation. It'll all just work out. He's like, okay. And then, like, we can agree how to be able to pick up the scooter once I get it fixed. I'm like, that's awesome. I think, like, a good halfway point would be in San Francisco, so we agreed to meet at SF Moto, which my thought behind that was, well, if he shows up to me and the scooter is still working or not working, that at least I would have these guys at SF Moto who I really trusted to be able to help me out. So we agreed and went our separate ways, and so then then the day happened. And luckily, Harriet was, again, kind enough to come with me down to the city. So I was also able to pick up my little top box that I was going to put on the scooter. And then I had also arranged with the folks at SF Moto that they had imported the one windscreen that would fit the scooter, which, looking at all these other things, were all terrible, and these tiny little pieces that just looked like they would fall apart. And looking at all the reviews, that was basically what happened to all of them. And they're like, put Loctite on it. I'm like, that's not always the right solution. Maybe just have something that's supposed to work correctly the first time. And apparently in transportation, it had got a little crack on the windscreen, so they weren't able to sell it for full price, so they gave it to me for a song. And just judging by everything else, I'm like, I'd much rather have that be an issue, like, fix the crack, than have just a terrible piece of equipment to start. Like, this windscreen was made for this scooter. I wasn't having to try to jerry-rig it to fit it. So I got the windscreen, I got the top box, and then I waited. And I sat in their little stairwell, kind of trying to be out of the way, but also trying not to lose my mind, but definitely still losing my mind, and kind of just, like, holding on to everything and watching some of the homeless folks go by and, like, looking at my stuff. And I'm like, oh man, like, I need to keep an eye on this. This would totally suck to have my stuff stolen, like, right off the bat. And so I just kind of waiting and waiting, and then he shows up. Like, oh my God, I immediately forgot about the, like, watching my stuff and leave it in the stairwell, run outside to meet him. And we have kind of a brief exchange, and he gives me the keys, and he's like, all right, here it is. And then he's gone, and he looked kind of shaken. And I'm like, why is he shaken? Because he just spent an hour on the scooter? Is that what I'm going to be like after an hour on the scooter? Oh boy. I try not to think about it. Just put it out of my mind. And I'm like, okay, well, let me see what I can do about trying to install this rooftop box. And so I'm, like, looking at the instructions and looking at this. I'm like, there's no way, no easy way that I'm putting this on there. Which I was kind of hoping that I could do just right there. And I'm like, I do not have enough tools for this. So I called Harriet, like, hey, do you mind swinging by so I can just throw everything I have in your car, and so I don't have to try to figure out where I'm storing anything? That would be great. And so she was, again, nice enough to do that. Got to show her the scooter, and then she drove off, and it was me and my scooter. Like, okay, I'm gonna do this. And I got started. Just the one foot in front of the other. Part of me wanted to go in and show off the scooter to the guys at SF Moto, But I knew that if I wasted any more time or spent any time doing things that made the time of actually getting on the scooter further away, that I might not get on it. So I got on it. I was on a one-way street, and in the little like scooter parking lot that they had, little specialized parking spaces for us two-wheeled things, and got on and then just watched the traffic go by. I'm like, I'm gonna pass out. Don't pass out. I'm gonna pass out. I'm not gonna pass out. And I had had my phone in my pocket because I hadn't quite figured out how I was going to put my phone up to get directions yet. So I'm like, okay, I have memorized the next couple turns to be able to get back to the Golden Gate Bridge, and everything's going to be fine. So I've got my phone in my pocket, my hands on the handlebars, and I turn on the scooter and it turns on. Like, okay, everything's fine. And just a huge sigh of relief that like Simon had, yes, gotten a new battery and that whatever else could have been the issue was resolved. So I then started to go. And I went forward and the scooter went, and it felt just as magical as it did the first time I got to ride her. And I went around the block and I'm like, okay, this is all good. Now let's keep going. So I drove towards the Golden Gate Bridge, and as I got closer, not only is it like rush hour traffic, but it's also Memorial Day weekend. And so the line for the slow lane is just a parking lot. It's so slow, and which is just giving me all the more time to freak out. And at one point, I wanted to check my phone to make sure for the exit I was supposed to take after the bridge. And I look down and I have 10% battery life left. So what was I even doing on my phone to make it die? And I'm like, why did I totally forget to make sure that my phone was charged? If I forget, what's going to happen? I'm like, no. Don't freak out. You know how to get back. You'll figure it out. It'll all be fine. I'm like, okay. So I zip my phone back up, and then eventually I start to get on the bridge. And the parking lot traffic that is the right lane, I finally get out of it, and now I'm over moving traffic. I'm in the bridge, and it's this like see-through grate, so I can see the water down below me, and on either side is wind that is now battling me back and forth, and the wind coming up from down below, and I'm going probably 30, 35 miles an hour, and I'm like, I already feel like I'm gonna die. Like, how are you supposed to hold these handlebars against the wind? I had heard some of the explanation of like, well, you're supposed to like lean into it, lean into the wind. I'm like, well, it's coming from everywhere. How am I supposed to lean into something that's all around me? And I just kind of had this moment of like, okay, scooter battle stance. And one of the guys that I talked to at SFMoto had kind of given me this visual of hold your arms on either side of you out like a you would for a dancing partner, you know, just strong arms, strong core, and you're going to do this. Also, don't grip the handlebars to death. Like, well, that's exactly what I'm doing. I could barely feel my fingers now at this point. And I was so, so scared. And I'm trying to still be able to see out of my eyes, but the fear is just slowly creeping up to where I feel like I'm going blind. And looking up past the bridge, I'm almost ready to be excited. I'm so ready to be excited to be done with the bridge. But I look up and realize that after the bridge, everyone starts going faster. And not only that, there is this insane fog, cloud, devil thing that is coming down the hill and towards us all. And I'm like, oh my God. And also now at this point, I am freezing. I'm wearing jeans and this motorcycle jacket, and it's like 45 degrees now because San Francisco is just like that, and it's all of a sudden so much colder than everywhere else around you. So I'm shaking from fear, I'm shaking from cold, I am trying to figure out how I'm going to twist this acceleration, the throttle, anymore to go any faster, because every little fiber in my body is telling me to pull over, to stop, to get off, to don't, no, no, no. And I am trying to breathe. And the song Jolene by Dolly Parton gets stuck in my head. And I started using it as a rhythm to be able to incorporate my panic, focus, and the necessity to still have an intake of oxygen. So the Jolene, 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 and breathe. So I just kept repeating that over and over again as I start to go faster and faster with the scooter. And I have no idea how fast I'm going down. I'm not even remotely going to risk looking down and just falling over. And I'm going forward, and I'm now wide open on the throttle, and people are passing me. They're in my lane. They're all around me. I feel like I'm like inside of everyone else's car, and I see an exit, and I don't even think more for than a second to just get off this road right now. You're done with this. Get off. And I get off the exit, and it's kind of a steep road going down, and I'm still shaking and trying to manage it. And I realize that this is like a dead end exit, and I have to get back on the highway to get off of here. And I'm like, well, I look down and I don't really have any gas. I'm like, well, there's a gas station here, I'll get gas. Pull into the gas station, and I realize I didn't even ask the guy how to get in the gas cap. So I'm like shaking and freezing and walking around the scooter trying to figure out how to do this. Look at my phone. It's dead. I do not have any more directions or a way to call for help. And I'm like, I don't need help. I'm fine. Eventually I figure out that you actually have to take the key and put it into the gas cap to be able to twist it to get it off. And then I'm like, I didn't ask what kind of fuel is the best kind of fuel for the scooter. And I'm like, well, I'll just go with unleaded because I don't know what else to do. And I've heard that premium can be a bad idea. My last scooter, I used to try to use ethanol free gas. I'm like, just stop thinking about all these other things. You'll deal with that later. Just get back on the scooter, because you have to go right back on that scary, scary, scary highway, and it's about to get even faster than what you were just doing. So with that, I realized that I have maybe one more exit until an exit that I was pretty sure I could figure out how to then completely avoid that highway altogether. So somehow I don't pass out, and I'm able to accelerate as fast as the little scooter will go and then get back on the highway. And at this point, luckily, I was able to stay. People had like enough time to see me, so I was able to just stay in the right lane, and everyone's just passing right by me. I couldn't even tell you if anyone was beeping or how close they were to me, really. But I didn't fall down. And I didn't die, I didn't go blind, and I got off the next exit. And then something that just is so magical to me that this was what happened, because I was about ready to call it quits. I'm like, I'm gonna just throw my scooter in the bay, and I'm never doing this again. This is absolutely insane. And what the road that I had remembered to be able to get back to my friend's house, it just all started coming back to me, and my body stopped shaking so much and eventually stopped shaking altogether. As I found myself, like, the sun had come out, my body started to warm, and I was on this incredible road with all these beautiful little turns, and there was like no one on it. I was mostly by myself, and I could just feel the light of and the warmth of the sun on my skin and coming through my jacket. And I started to laugh because I was having fun. and giving myself that space to be so afraid, not but like 5 seconds before, and be like, that can live there in that moment. I don't have to be that afraid just because of something that just happened. I can be witnessing this moment in and of itself, that I am experiencing joy, I am alive, I am having fun, and I'm riding these curves and I'm doing it well. I'm not falling over. This scooter is going to be just fine. And I made it back to my friend Harriet's house, and I parked the scooter, and I took my first selfie with the scooter, and immediately I knew that she would be called Jolene. So thank you all so much for listening, and next week I'll talk a little bit about how I got the scooter all sorted for the adventure. Thanks so much, and take care.